down to the short rows. And I want to just talk tonight on angels that stand beside us. Angels that stand beside us. I ask you a question before we get into the text and before we stand in reverence to reading God's Word. I ask you a question. Do you believe in angels? Do you believe in angels? Do you believe you have an angel? Do you believe a lost man has an angel? No. Lost man don't have an angel looking over him. I'm going to show you that in the scripture here in just a minute. But when you're saved, at that moment, you get assigned an angel. You get assigned somebody to stand beside you, somebody to look after you, somebody to help you, somebody to be on guard for you, somebody to take care of you. You say, well, I thought the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost lives inside of you. He can do anything he wants to do. Amen. He can do anything, but tonight I'm talking about another hand, another unseen hand that moves throughout and amongst us. When something was supposed to happen and it didn't, and you seen something step in and it was, you can't explain it, you can't put your hand on it, you don't know how you got out of that situation, you don't know how, but you seen something move out of the way, literally move. You ever been there? I mean, it was supposed to knock your head off. You're supposed to have your arm cut off. All these things. Or you come through a car wreck and you hear people talk and they don't know. Somebody was there, but then they was gone. Somebody showed up and gave them CPR. And the ambulance workers, they tried. And they said, well, that guy's not even on our staff. Who are you talking about? He said, preacher, you've lost your mind. Oh, no, that happens all the time. So who is this individual that we're talking about tonight? Who is this person when you're at home alone and you're having a bad day and there's nobody there, or you and your spouse and everything ain't going right, and you feel somebody hug around you, but there's nobody there, but you feel that hug, or you feel that breath on the back of your neck, and you say, well, it was the Holy Ghost. How do you know it wasn't an angel? How do you know it wasn't an angel of God that was standing there beside you, giving you that comfort, giving you that you need? Tonight, I want to ask you this. Angels that stand beside us. Tonight, you be careful how you treat your angel. Amen? Be careful how you treat your angel. Acts chapter number 27, verse number 22, I would ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word tonight. Acts 27 and verse number 22, and the Bible says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, and it shall be even as it was told me. Our Heavenly Father God, as we bow in your presence tonight, I thank you tonight for the Holy Spirit that's in this place. I thank you for the Holy Ghost that lives in my life tonight. I thank you that there are angels that are encamped around us tonight. I thank you that when we are preaching or teaching or whatever we may do, Father, that there is a host of angels that are watching in, that are looking in, Father. We're compassed about with such great a cloud of witnesses, Father, and I believe the angels are in on them witnesses there, Father. Lord, I pray tonight that your will be done in this message. I pray that what you showed me in the text, that I will be able to relate it to your people tonight. Lord, I pray it be nothing about me, but all about Jesus tonight. Father, I pray tonight that if there's one struggling tonight, Lord, they find peace at the foot of the cross. Lord, I pray tonight for all the prayer requests that was mentioned, the ones that are struggling, the friends that are on our hearts, the unspoken request tonight. Brother Lee, he had to test today that, Father, I pray you touch that in a mighty way and put your hand all over it tonight. Lord, I pray for Brother Rodney tomorrow as he's got to have a procedure done. Lord, I pray you touch him in a mighty way. Sister Vanda's a family member. Lord, I'd pray you'd reach down from heaven. The one that's lost their husband the day after, Father, their anniversary. Lord, I'd pray you'd touch them. Lord, I pray for Miss Seals up the road. Lord, I pray you touch her, Lord God. And as she leaves this walk of life, Lord, I pray it'd be a transition that the family can say that it went so good. Father, we know we got grace. We got saving grace. We got living grace. But I thank you also for that dying grace, Father. Lord, I pray for Brother Tony's family tonight as he lifted it up. Lord, I pray tonight that you bless the next few moments. And Lord, we walk out of this place with a peace that passes all understanding. Guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let it be all about you and nothing about me. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, be with Brother Connor as he ministers to that man. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated tonight. As we come tonight, are angels that stand beside us. Angels that stand right there beside us when things come our way. Tonight, as we look into Acts chapter number 27 and we go down through verse number 22, he stood there in verse number 23, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God." I say to you tonight that when Paul came, he said the angel of God stood right there beside him. He didn't say he stood in front of him. He didn't stand behind him, but he said he stood right beside me. Hey, can I say to you tonight, I thank God for that unseen hand tonight that has always been around you and I since we've been born again. That angel that stands there and that helps us in need tonight. It's a comfort to know tonight that the angels of God stand beside His people. But tonight, as I read that and I understood that the angel of God stands beside His people, I asked myself a question. Why do they stand by us? Why do we have angels tonight? Why do we have that in our life tonight? How can I say to you tonight, an angel is not what you'll see on TV. An angel is not real quiet, and they're not real wimpy-fied, and they're not sissy, but they're strong angels, and they can move mighty mountains that are in our life, and they can handle a lot of situations. Number one tonight, I want to say this. Why do they stand beside us? Is number one, because angels have a purpose for the saved people. Angels have purposes for saved people tonight. They're sent to take care of a purpose that is in our life. Number one tonight, a purpose is they are sent to minister to the saved people. They are ministered to save people that are born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. He sends them angels there amongst us. And tonight, can I say to you, they minister us in our life. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter number 1. In verse number 14 tonight, I want to show you this in the text. Hebrews chapter number 1 and verse number 14, they minister to save people. Tonight, that Spirit of God will sit down and that holy angel of God, it'll minister to you in your life. Hebrews chapter number 1 and verse number 14. In Hebrews 1, we don't know that here he's talking about how God had set Jesus Christ. He was high and lifted up. But when we get to the angels here, he says in verse number 13, let's go to there. He says, "But to which of these angels said he at any time sat on my right hand?" Can I say to you tonight that on the right hand of God was only seated there, hey, for Jesus Christ. He is set down by the right hand of the Father. But tonight I want you to get this, what he says here, "But to which of the angels said he at any time sat on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool?" He didn't say that to no angel, but here's what he said to the angels in verse number 14. He said, "Are they not all ministering spirits?" Them angels that come, they are ministering spirits, and they sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So number one tonight, they minister to save people tonight. But number two, not only do they minister us tonight and they help us out, number two tonight, when they minister to us, they have charge over us. They don't only minister to us and minister in our life and they come up beside us and help us in our daily walk, but they have charge over us. If you'll turn with me tonight to Psalm chapter number 91 in verse number 11 tonight, I'll show you this in the Bible. How don't they only minister, but they have charge over us tonight. I don't know about you, but I thank God that somebody's got charge of my life. Amen. I thank God tonight that I'm not in charge, Brother Austin. I thank God tonight there's been times that I couldn't remember if I stopped at the stop sign. There's been times I couldn't remember if I run the red light. There's been times I went 15 miles down the road and I didn't remember getting from point A to point B. There's been times, I'm telling you, I've seen the hand of God all over my life. You say, what is that? That's the Spirit of God. That's an angel of God taking a hold of that steering wheel and leading me where I need to go. But he says tonight they don't only get to that place where they minister to us, but they have charge over our life as well, over the saved person. Psalm 91 and verse number 11, the Bible says, "For he shall give his angels." He gives his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Tonight, did you know this tonight? That angel that's with you, hey, he's got charge over you. He's helping you. He's leading you in the way that you need to go tonight. You got the Holy Ghost living inside of you, and you got an angel standing beside you. Amen? He says tonight, they minister to the saved. They have charge over the saved. And can I say to you tonight, they rejoice over the saved tonight. Tonight, angels is a big part of the ministry tonight. Number one, they minister to us. They have charge over us. And number three, they rejoice when we get saved. Amen? When we get born again, they rejoice. Look in your Bible to Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 10 tonight. They rejoice over us when we get saved. You say, preacher, I got saved and nobody clapped, nobody rejoiced, nobody had a hallelujah time. And I say to you tonight, you're wrong. Hey, in heaven, them angels, hey, we're having a hallelujah time. Amen? Look what he says tonight. They rejoice over us being saved tonight. Man, they're excited that we got born again tonight. Amen? Look what he says tonight in Luke 15:10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So tonight, them angels, they have a purpose for us. Number one, they minister us. Number two, they have charge over us to help us. Number three, they rejoice over the saved people. And you say, preacher, why do they do that? Because they've been where you and I ain't never been. They've been at a place you and I ain't never been. And tonight, you say, preacher, do you know that tonight? And I know we're doing a lot of turning, but I want to back all this up. They've been where me and you haven't been. Look with me to Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 19 tonight. Man, I love this tonight. Luke 1, 19. So I better make sure I'm treating my angel right. Amen? I'm not going to kick it. I'm not going to beat it. I'm not going to try to go against it. I want to go with it. Just saying. Luke, they've been where you and I haven't been. Luke 1:19, here's when he's talking to Zechariah, John the Baptist's daddy. And you remember what happened when he went in there and he was lighting the candles and they was getting ready. He seen the angel of the Lord standing there and he got fear all over him. And look what he says here in verse 19 of Luke chapter number 1. Here's what he said. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel. He said, I am the angel that brings announcements. I'm the one that brings good tidings. I am the one that's going to tell you some things that's going to blow your mind. And he says, and the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel. And what's so big a deal about that? Look what he says in verse 19. That stand in the presence of God. There has never been a man or a woman, boy or girl, that has ever stood in the presence of God. You can't stand in His presence. You cannot stand in His presence in this mortal body. We cannot do that in this mortal body. We can't do it. You say, I said, no, you cannot stand in the presence of God. This angel stood in the presence of God. Man, I'm telling you tonight, and they minister us and they help us. Have you ever tried to do something and it's like it won't work and you finally give up and then you go a different way and it works? Wonder why you couldn't figure it out or get it to work out. Wonder why. Huh? You ever thought it might be an angel saying, you ain't letting that work because if you go that route, you're going to mess up. So I'm going to detour you and try to help you go another way. Look what he says here. I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee glad tidings tonight. So tonight I see that the angels have a purpose for the saved tonight, and that's to minister to us and to help us. But also I want to share with you something else. Angels, if we go back to the text, angels help with problems that surround us. Not only are they there for the saved people, but angels help with problems that are around us tonight. Here in the text, if you look with me, they help Paul. Verse number 23. Look what he says here in verse number 23 of our text. Here's what he said. That angels help. He helped Paul. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not. Paul is in a storm, and he's getting tossed to and fro. And in this storm, the ship is going to go down. It's going to be destroyed. But he said, be of good cheer. There will be no loss of life. Tonight, I want you to know, if you're out in the middle of the ocean and a hurricane's got you, a strong east wind's got you, and it's flipping that boat over, and there's all kind of people on board, and there's no life rafts to get on, there's nothing but pieces of hull to ride on, and the angel stands beside you and says, fear not, you better believe that angel. If not, you're going to be scared to death. Amen? He said tonight, he said, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. I see the angels help with problems that surround us. Number one, they helped Paul. But number two, the angel of the Lord helped Daniel. You remember that, where he helped Daniel? He didn't only help Paul, but he helped in the Old Testament. Look with me, if you will, to Daniel chapter number 6 and verse number 22. He helps all of our life, all the way around us. He helps us everywhere we go. Daniel chapter number 6, if you will, in verse number 22 tonight. I want to show you this in the Word of God, how he helps us everywhere we go. Daniel chapter number 6 in verse number 22, if you would tonight. He helped Daniel here. And here's what he said. He helped Paul with his problems, and the angel of the Lord helped Daniel with his problems. Look what he said tonight. Daniel chapter number 6 in verse number 22, Daniel said, "My God has sent his angel." My God, thank God for an angel who stands beside us. "My God has sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth." Angel ain't there, Daniel's dead. There's some times in your life that the angel of the Lord wouldn't have been there in that car seat beside you. You're dead meat. You're gone. You're history. You're dead. "My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I done no hurt." He was not hurt a bit. Why? Because the angel took care of the problem that was around him. Let me give you something else tonight. Not only did he help Paul, not only did he help Daniel, but I done told you tonight, ain't you ever seen something you couldn't understand? You didn't know where it come from? Unexplainable. You knew it was the hand of God. You knew it was the work of God. You knew God was all in it, but you just couldn't explain it. Have you ever been there? I'm talking about, you knew God was all in it. He reached down and he made a move. You ever seen somebody get a fender bender just barely get hit and they get killed in a car wreck? And you're like, man, I don't even like nobody should got killed in that. Then you see one that's tore completely apart, nothing left, motors over in the woods, transmissions in another area, and they stand out. You ever thought about somebody maybe in the car with them? Sitting there beside them. You said, "Preacher, are you sure about that?" Tonight in Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 2, you can write that down if you're taking notes. He said that we entertain angels unaware. They're unaware. Just as that angel helped Paul, just as that angel helped Daniel, that angel helps us sometimes and we're unaware of it. But he says, you be careful how you treat. You be careful. Don't, hey, tonight, and I believe that so much in my life, how he has sent things in my path to move me, to stir me, to do all kinds of things. And I believe that angel steps in really heavily, real heavy, when I don't listen to the Holy Ghost. So what do you mean, preacher? Before that angel usually ever ministers to me or I see his hand and he has to work like that, that Holy Ghost done triggered the inside of me. He's done nitpicked me to death. He's done let me know I don't need to do that. But if I keep on persisting to go that way, sometimes there's something that stands in my way and it doesn't work. You've heard people try to commit suicide, put a gun to their head and it clicked, didn't work. Well, it was just a bad bullet. Don't give me that. Winchester and Browning don't hardly make bad bullets. Brother Les, can I get amen on that? He's a gun man. He knows what I'm talking about. What is that? That's the hand of God. That's the hand of God moving on that. Look at this tonight. Let me show you this here in the book. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Hebrews chapter number 13 in verse number 2. He said, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers." Don't be forgetful. You make sure tonight, whoever, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. He has sent them to help you and we're unaware of it tonight. It helps us when we're unaware tonight. So I've told you tonight, number one, angels help save people. They come in, they minister to us. Angels help with problems that surround us tonight. But I want to give you the third thing that angels do tonight. They'll do nothing against the will of God. They'll do nothing. They can't do nothing that God don't send them to do. When he dispatches them, they're not like us. They don't have that free will to do what they want. When he dispatches them angels from heaven, they got to do. They got to do. Now, a third of them angels that got cast out with Satan, they done their own thing. Guess what? They hell bound, son. Huh? But them ones that stayed around the throne, they're under the submission of God. He created them to do exactly what he wanted them to do. And when he dispatches them to you, help is on the way. His old saying, go, business is about to pick up. Amen. Look what he says here. I'm going to show you this. I want to show you this. Angels, the third thing, if you're taking notes, angels holler. They holler, scream, proclaim the promise of the Savior. They never brag on themselves. All they do is holler, help's on the way. Help's on the way. Help's on the way. Look at this tonight, if you will, with me. In verse number 24 of the text that we're in Acts 27, verse number 24, angels holler the promise of the Savior. He told Paul, fear not. Fear not. He just told what God told him, what he says in verse 24, saying, fear not. Paul was scared to death. If you stand, when you realize that an angel stands beside you, you're going to be scared to death. Saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God. Look, God. God. He didn't say, I've done it. He said, God. Who's he pointing to? God. He says, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Then Paul says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, I believe the angel. No. He said, be of good cheer, for I believe God. But who done the talking to him? The angel of God. But he believed him. Tonight, can I say to you, he told Paul, fear not. Turn with me if you will. I know we've done a lot of turning, but be good for us. Let's turn to Luke 1:13. Not only did he tell Paul, fear not. Luke 1:13, let's look at this tonight. Luke 1:13 not only told Paul, but he told Zechariah to fear not. Look with me in Luke 1:13. Let's go to Luke 1:12. And when Zacharias saw him, talking about the angel of the Lord, in verse 11, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. He told Paul, fear not. He told Zechariah, fear not. Stay where you at. Luke 1:30, look what he told Mary. He told Mary also that what he told her, Luke 1:30, and the angel said unto her, fear not who? Mary. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Take you to another place that he told him, fear not. If you'll turn with me to Daniel chapter number 8 and verse number 16, he told Daniel to fear not. The book of Daniel chapter number 8 and verse number 16. Let's go to 15. Daniel 8:15. And he told Daniel to fear not. Daniel 8:15, the Bible says, and it came to pass when even I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then, behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Eulah, which called and said, Gabriel. There he is again. There he is again. Make this man to understand the vision. Who was telling Gabriel to tell him? God. They always go. They're under his authority. Where he sends them, they'll go. Can I say to you tonight, you and I were to be under God's authority. Where he sends me, I'll go. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Eulah, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid. I was afraid, fell upon my face, but he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. He said, I'm going to give you what you need. God has sent me to give you what you need. Tonight, I believe it's so much in my life. I believe in your life too that we have angels that minister us. They minister us on a daily basis. They don't do it as much now as they're not allowed to do as much now as they did. Let me say this way, and I may even be wrong here. When people get to the end of their life, they get down to the end and they're sick. Nothing wrong with medication. Do not misunderstand this. Don't misunderstand this at all. But I've heard, and you've heard back years ago, when a child of God, a saint of God, be ready to go home, they'd see what coming. Psalm 91:11 has charge over us. They even had charge over the body of Moses. Look in Jude. So they had charge over. They said people would lay at home on their deathbed, almost ready to die. We'd give them no medicine, we'd give them nothing. They'd just be laying there, fixing to leave this, walking Miss Patsy, shaking her head. I don't remember this, but I've heard this. Old preachers tell this all the time. And say people would lay beside that bed and they'd hear them seeing angels come. And they'd say, "Do you see it? Do you see it? Do you see what I'm talking about?" And they couldn't see it. They couldn't see what they were seeing coming from another world. And them old timers, they'd say, "There it is. There's that promise. They're coming after me. Who is it? They're coming after me." And they just get excited because they knew they wouldn't leave in this world to the glory world on their own. Now we keep them so sedated, I still believe they see them. We just don't get to hear it. Don't misunderstand me here. I believe we keep them so sedated, they still see it. We just don't get to experience it. We don't get to experience them calling out for that, for what's coming, what they see coming out of the sky, what they see coming. I'll never forget, there was a man that went to church here, and his name was Jackie Kell. A lot of y'all know Brother Jackie. He went to church with us here. And Brother Jackie, he lived a long time. Man, cancer, he lived a long time in that state. Brother Jackie ride on a board. He just ride on the boards, what he would do. Him and Sister Tina, he just ride on the board. And the glass in my office, under the glass, I got letters that he's written to the church still stuck under there. That's back in 2015. It's still stuck up underneath there that he wrote of what he had seen, what he'd seen God doing in his life. Couldn't speak, couldn't say a word, but all you do, right? One of the greatest soul winners I've ever been able to minister with. I'll never forget. One of the greatest soul winners. I was going into Brother Jerry Oaks' church one night up there for overcomers meeting to speak. He was across the street and he hollered at me. He had his wife to holler. He couldn't speak at that time. He walked down and he wrote on that board. He said, "What are you doing coming here? I thought you pastored." And he wrote it all on that board. "That's why I'm coming here to speak." He come in and listened. Got born again on the blood of Jesus Christ. Started coming to church with us. And he'd write me a note and said, "I want you to go with me to see so-and-so." And we'd go to that house, knock on that door, and old buddies, they want to hug him up. And he listen. Want them to listen to what I had to say. I'd share the plan of salvation to them. Some rejected, some accepted. They'd get born again. Man, I'm telling you what, he was doing what God called him to do. And when he got down there to the end, he'd say, "They're coming after me. They're coming." And I said, "Bro, who? You know what I'm talking?" I said, "Who's coming?" He said, "Them angels. I see them. They're coming after me." There'd been times and times they'd come in there and give him that morphine, and he'd get it in his mouth, and when they'd turn around, he'd spit it back out. They'd think he's almost gone. Next day, he'd be in his pajamas, standing up outside on the wall. That's the truth. Y'all know what it is. He's come into church. I'm talking about son. You thought he ain't going to make it next week. 3 months later, he's still singing out loud. Can't even sing. Why? Why? He had an unseen hand that was helping him. Tonight, what I want you to know is this, that we have an unseen hand tonight. Yes, I know God is on the throne. Jesus Christ is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper, lives inside of me. And I believe that He dispatches angels to help us along this walk. Paul said, "As he stood beside me this night, I believe God." I read a story this week in a big old book that I got. I read a story this week about a woman that wrote a book. And here's what happened. She said her dad was a carpenter. And said he was building a two-story house. And her dad had went up to help do some roofing on it. And when he got up to where it was, he went to step out on one board that was supposed to be nailed. And when he stepped out on that board started going over. He was sure to fall and to plunge two stories down to his death or to get hurt real bad. And said by the time he tried to catch his balance, it was just like all of a sudden an unseen hand grabbed a hold of that back of that unnailed board and just pushed that board back down. Said he didn't, his pivot point, anybody in this room knows if you're pivoted over, you're gone. If that board is done doing this, it's going quick. And said all of a sudden it started anchoring back down. And said he started slowly moving back. And said she asked her dad, said, "Dad, what do you think that was that held you from falling? What do you think that was that held you from falling off? What do you think that was?" And he said, I believe that was my angel. I believe my angel either put his hand on the board or he put his foot. But it doesn't matter which he put. I'm just glad he put it. Tonight I want to share this with you. When you're going in this life and things are not working, we've all been taught, push harder. Everybody in this room has been taught, if it don't work, push harder. Men, you've all been taught, if it won't fit, beat it in there, it'll work. That's true. That's, brother, that's just Detroit. You hear me? If it don't fit, just beat it in there, it'll work. Just beat it in there, it'll work. But have you ever thought about tonight, that may not be the case. That's what the world's taught us. If you're trying to beat something in some way, you're trying to get something in there, and it ain't going in, have you ever thought it might be the Lord sent that angel and said, hey, wait a second, man, this ain't where it's supposed to go. This ain't the way it's supposed to be. And he's standing right there in front of you and said, hey, this ain't the way it's supposed to go, and this ain't the way it should be. Just wait a minute. Just wait a minute. I don't know about you, but there's been times I've had to back up and say, oh, me, I'm glad it didn't work. Oh, me, I'm glad it didn't work out that way. Oh, me, I'm glad something didn't let me go down that path. Oh, me, I'm glad that road was out and I had to go another way, OJ. I couldn't go the way I always went. I had to go another way. Oh, me. Boy, I sure am glad that tree was down. Big old car pile up at the other end. Boy, I'd have been right in it. That slowpoke that's riding in front of you and you're running late and you got to get there, man. You're just giving him down the road. Come on. And then when you get down the road, there was a major wreck. Major wreck. I thought about this, Brother Kevin, and I'll close with this, about the hand of the Lord and the angel of the Lord being all around us. We was coming back from Illinois on two mission trips ago, and Brother Kevin, Brother Brent, Brother David, they are speed demons. They'll fly down the highway. They like Brother Harold Cantrell. They'll run that truck on down the road. And I'll do myself. I like to move on pretty good myself. And we was coming into West Memphis, Arkansas, and we was moving on pretty good. And I was right behind Brother Kevin, moving on pretty good. And Brother Kevin, something fell off a truck, and Brother Kevin swerved, whatever you call it, to miss it. And he did. And the next thing I know, I done hit that thing. Bent my fender up a little bit, blowed my tire out, warped my rim. So I'm about to call a tow truck. And then all of a sudden, the church flew in there like, son, you ain't never seen, like NASCAR. They got my truck up there, putting tires on there. We even lined it at a car wash. We did. Drove that thing home. Put Kaylee in the truck with Brent. That's that gunner in him. He got up front. But listen to this. When we got on down the road about 30 minutes, then Brother David, you know this, 20, 30 minutes on down the road, maybe even 10, 15 on down the road from where we just had our little nothing major, nothing major, nothing that money didn't fix, right? There's a car down there wrecked. Major wreck. Major wreck. Well, we would have been in if we wouldn't have happened there. A major. He said, what was that, preacher? At the time, I just thought, man, I can't believe it was me. But what about if it had been me and my family on down the road? Sometimes he wants to get our attention. And we're running so fast in life that we don't even know it's him. We don't even know what he sent. Paul said, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Tonight, this week, I want to give you something as you go out this week. Be of good cheer if you believe God. Amen. Father, we love you and we thank you for this night. I thank you for the blessings of life. I thank you, Father, that you do let angels encamp around us tonight. I thank you that you do send them to deliver us out of this world, Father. I thank you that we don't have to leave this walk of life on our own. Father, I thank you that they minister to the saved people. I thank you tonight, Father, that they help us with our problems. And I thank you that they scream out, fear not, that you're on the throne and everything's going to be all right. Lord, tonight, whoever's got any problems, I pray you fix them tonight, help them with them tonight. And Lord, I pray you bless this service. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, all of God's people say it. Amen. You are dismissed tonight.